This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's wet out there. Hope you're staying dry. That's what I'm supposed to say, right? That hey, hope you're staying dry out there. Yeah. Hope you're staying cool. It's your sports bros.
I guess now it'd be staying warm, right?
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, hope you're staying wet.
Yeah. No one wants to be wet. Well, I guess that's a lie. I mean, just...
What if you're in the...
Context and...
The desert.
Yeah, then I suppose, you know, moisture can be good for you. How about this? Just take care of yourself out there.
We did have a guy text in earlier that said he was listening to us half day drunk from the desert.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know more.
Mm. Yeah, because he was listening. He was commenting on something from the other
yesterday.
Day.
Yeah, he was listening to yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Half day drunk in the desert.
Well, and by the way, we have several confirmations from the Vancouver Ford text line that indeed, out along the I-5 corridor, it stinks. Someone in Ridgefield last night said it was rancid. Got a lot of phyllida stinkiness. But they're saying in downtown Vancouver right now, no. So it tends to be north, which I think we can officially blame it on Kelso Longview. So meth related.
Your sports bros here.
Sada.
I'm Rop. That's Sook.
What's up, dude?
Nice to have you along.
Yeah.
A lot going on. I mean, sort of. I don't know.
The last couple of days, there's been a lot going on. Today,
yesterday.
Not so much.
Well, we're kind of getting into, you know, October's a great sports month.
Yes, it is.
It's just a great sports month.
You know, like the...
And we're heading that way.
I mean, I was watching preseason hockey last night, for God's sakes.
What?
Yeah. The Canucks were playing last night.
I'm not ready for that.
October 9th, the puck drops on the Vancouver Canucks season. The NBA, I think, is 27, 28 days away.
Late October, usually, right?
Yeah, dude, it's going down, man. So, I mean, you got everything. We'll have college football, NFL. I mean, this is the time of the year where everything is going on at once.
Don't forget about the playoffs. Playoffs.
The WNBA playoffs going on right now, which you don't even pay attention to.
I don't, and I will ignore the NBA until probably February, as is typical of me. But, you know, I only have so much sports room in my sports brain.
I understand.
Coming up here this hour, we'll get back to our college football cookie crumble, the Beavers signing a home-and-home with BYU.
They're not ready for this wideout.
Who is next in line after Oakland for a city's fan base that has the most to complain about? But Oakland is in a class of its own.
Oh, absolutely.
And later in the club, who would be fooled by this? We have a couple of pieces of audio. And was there a dart fart?
Dart fart?
Yeah.
Certainly a lot to get to.
Right now, though, let's get to our Hot 5 at 5.
Excuse me.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number 5.
Number 5.
Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is out of his walking boot, and the MRI, they did another MRI on his high ankle sprain Monday, and they show that he is progressing. Jim Harbaugh even said he may do some things in practice today.
Yeah, so all signs point to him giving it a whirl here on Sunday.
Who are they playing? Should I know that?
I saw this just like yesterday. They have, scrolling.
Raiders.
They got the Raiders?
No.
Still scrolling. The Raiders have the Browns.
Oh, they're playing the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be out there.
Kansas City shifts. Get ready for that big Monday night tilt between the Dolphins and the Titans.
Well, at least we have Seahawks-Lions.
Yeah, Seahawks-Lions.
We have two Monday night games this week.
Yes.
One of them on the field.
Yeah. So not us.
Number four.
Yeah, we're going to have Titans-Dolphins for you guys.
Turn in for that hot Will Levis Skylar Thompson matchup.
Blowing out the show.
That's right.
Yep, Seahawks in Detroit Monday here on The Fan. Seahawks hosted 42-year-old offensive lineman Jason Peters yesterday.
He's still hanging around, huh?
Well, not really.
I guess.
But if they sign him, he'd be the oldest player in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do have some old line issues. And, you know, they haven't figured out the whole right tackle situation. They've had the injury bug there. And I mean, Jason Peters at one point was one of the best players in the NFL at his position. Now,
is it just me or does every team have O-line issues?
There does seem to be a lot of injuries. You know, we talk about all the skill players going down. A lot of O-lines have had problems. And even some of the ones that are healthy, see the Bears, they just stink. But the Saints lost two O-linemen over the course of the game when their offense sputtered. So, yes. You know, people ask like why offenses are having struggles. One of those reasons is O-line. It's not very good though.
Number three.
Oregon State football adds a home and home with BYU.
Let's go.
Your Cougars. They will visit Provo in 2027 and BYU coming to Corvallis 2028. The Beavs still have five games left to fill for next season schedule. Of course, they're all non-conference games because they're not in a conference. They're not even doing the Mountain West thing next year.
No.
They begin the new Pac-12 conference schedule in 2026.
I will say that if you're an Oregon State fan and you're looking for a, not a wild weekend, but a fun just football weekend, go down to Provo. Everybody that goes down there, the Kansas State fans, every fan base that goes down there says the same thing. The nicest experience you'll have. It's a beautiful stadium. You can drink and party in Salt Lake because there's nothing to do in Provo. It's a gorgeous backdrop, and I'm telling you, you will never be treated better by a home fan base than you will by the Cougs.
Can I tailgate in Provo?
Not really.
For my team?
Well, yeah, you could bring your own, but it's
that's
not
what
a
I mean.
Scene. Yeah. Yeah, you could bring your own. But you can't bring it in the building.
Hello?
No booze in the building, no none for sale. So
yeah.
Number two.
Here's the situation. Having won 9 of 10, the Padres have pulled within 2 of the Dodgers in the NL West. They meet again tonight in L.A. Just 3 games left for the Mariners after a getaway matinee in Houston. They did win it. The final was, I think, 6-1?
8-1.
8-1. They got eight.
Yeah, well, the Astros laid down. You know.
Astros committed 5 errors and took everybody out of the game. it was wild.
Yeah.
Julio hit a home run. So now, looking at the wild card standings, this is up to date, up to the minute.
Mm-hmm.
The Mariners are 2 games back of the last wild card spot, which is currently held by Kansas City and Detroit. They're tied.
And here's a little something.
And the Twins are also 2 back.
Yeah, so the Royals up 3-0 right now on the Nationals.
Boom.
That's in the 6th. The Tigers up 3-1 in the Rays in the 5th.
Boo.
So not good. But the Marlins, the plucky Marlins, up 3-0 in the 2nd on the Twins.
Hell yeah.
So you need 2 of those. You got to jump 2 teams. So, and the nice part for the Mariners is you got a 3-game homestand against the crappy-ass A's. So, you know, you need to win all 3 of these games.
They might sneak in, man.
To have any sort of shot at this, you've got to sweep the A's.
Also, in the National League, the Mets and Braves, they rained out tomorrow's game, so they're going to come back for a doubleheader on Monday. That's big because the Mets lead the Braves by 1 game for the number 2 wild card spot in the NL with Arizona sandwiched in between them.
There is a good chance that the fate of one of those wild cards will be decided on that Monday. And then they got to turn around because the playoffs start on Tuesday.
UNLV starting quarterback Matt Sluka has made headlines today. He is leaving the Rebels after a 3-0 start. He claims the school has not paid him $100,000 in NIL that he was promised. The school says all commitments were met, but they think he left because his market value increased, so he hired an agent to get more elsewhere. Meanwhile, the CEO of the UNLV Collective says he was never told about any $100,000 commitment that supposedly came from an assistant coach.
How many times do we have to have this? From Damian Martinez to Rashada to the... I mean, there are so many of these NIL deals, and nothing's written down. It's all just farts in the air. It's all just Kelso smells. The NCAA, this is their own doing. They reap what they sow because they continue to hold on to this stupid amateurism thing. And eventually, when the house settlement comes through and schools are actually able to get involved in this and there's going to be signed contracts, I side with the players on this stuff because more often than not, I just think it's schools that are very wishy-washy and collectives on this whole thing. So unless you believe this kid is absolutely just full of S, you know, again, you reap what you sow. This is the NCAA's fault.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. The college football cookie crumble continues next. Beavers v. BYU and one Power 5 program. Power 4, sorry. They call it Power 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
One Power 4 program, a prominent one that is really low-key in shambles. That's next on The Fan. Hey, we didn't get a chance to talk about our Beavers' ground-and-pound victory on Saturday.
Dude, they bludgeoned them.
Against Purdue.
Look, I mean, we know, we learned about Oregon State is, you know, they're not anywhere near, you know, an Oregon level, but not many people are from a talent standpoint. But, you know, when it comes to the San Diego States and the Purdue's of the world, the Oregon State can shove it down your throat. So, I mean, by no means is this a great team, but, you know, they do one thing really well. And, I mean, the score doesn't even indicate how close or how lopsided that game even was. I mean, they bludgeoned Purdue.
You know that Purdue, so there are 134 basically FBS teams.
Yeah.
Do you know where Purdue ranks in rush defense?
I'm guessing right near the very bottom.
134th.
Yeah. So.
And it's not even close. 133rd is Kent State.
Jeez.
They are giving up 319 yards per game on the ground. Purdue gives up 352.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately, the problem that the Beavs have is when they see someone like Purdue, who's, think about it, Purdue's going to be getting like $90 million, and Oregon State's going to get like eight in the pack, whatever this 12 is. And that's the part that pisses them off. So, I mean, the Beavs still can have a good year. I mean, but look, the way they throw the ball, look, they're... You know, they are what they are. The nice thing for Oregon State fan, I think Washington State fan going forward too, is you don't have to, like, this idea that was always like, well, you got to win pretty and you got to, you know, get people to pay attention to you. No, you don't. Those, it's over. That's done. You're moving forward. You're building the Pac-12 and, you know, you just need to kind of settle into the reality of where you're at and hope that you can just continue to build a really solid program that gets 2- and 3-star kids and works the transfer portal well, you know, homegrown talent. The only problem with that, did you see, I'll see if I can pull up the graph, but the group of five this year, even though, you know, Boise State's a nice team, the group of five is having a historically bad season against the Power Four.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah,
because they've had several upsets.
Yeah, they've had some upsets, but again, there was an article maybe four or five days ago that I saw, and some of the group of five or group of six coaches were saying this is our fear, is that we're becoming a minor league system for the big boys, and it's there's still always going to be some teams that are quality teams, and that's what you're trying to be if you're Washington State and Oregon State, is be that Boise State team, but. For the rest of it, that gap is starting to widen.
You know, you bring up an interesting point that, you know, Purdue will be making, what'd you say, like 90
million?
It's
like 90 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nine times what Oregon State will make?
Something like that, yeah.
And yet, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going, you know, I don't think anything's going to change with Purdue.
No, probably not.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's like we talk about this,
not very good.
Just widening gap. It's just like a lot of these schools, they're going to be the exact same.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be mostly doormats, mm-hmm, in their leagues, yep, these big leagues, And every once in a while, you get a special quarterback, coach, whatever. Yeah. Maybe a veteran-laden team that rises up and wins 10 games. That's really it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nothing will change. The shrinking of the haves versus the have-nots, yeah, that's not going to change the fates.
Because it's kind of already...
It's already
that way.
Yes.
Which is another reason why we've been saying Oregon State, you know, it's always been this way. You've always been the little guy.
The difference is that schools like Oregon State and Washington State traditionally have done a better job of competing at the higher levels. But also at the same time, to Oregon State and Washington State fan that are like, this is ridiculous. We don't have a chance to win. You never had a chance to win a national championship. Like, that's not, you know, I guess Oregon State came the closest that year with the Fiesta Bowl team, but... You know, it just when you run into the real haves, the Ohio States and the Alabamas of the world, that gap has always been there. But it's just the idea of the inequity of the thing because you don't deserve it because you're better programs than a lot of the schools that because of where they were at, they got That's grandfathered
right.
in.
That's right. Yeah. But it's always been unequal is the thing.
But I saw that sentiment on social media over the weekend just from Beaver fan. Like, look, we just took them behind the woodshed. Like, we've got this totally covered, and we don't get that thing. It's terrible.
And that's the thing, is it doesn't matter. You can, that's like me screaming about taxes. You can yell and scream about it, but none of those things are changing. No one's kicking Purdue out of the Big Ten to bring you in.
No, of course not.
So,
but you look at it almost like if it were through a promotion relegation looking glass, like soccer or something like that, you could say, well, we could have that spot. Obviously, that doesn't work like that here.
And that's why I'm hoping that at least with the rebuild into the Pac-12 and forming kind of the new Mountain West here, that you can just start eventually to put some of that stuff behind you and just move forward.
Well, it's again, I go back to it. I keep saying it every week, but I keep looking at the Beaver schedule going, this is kind of fun. You know, they're 3-1. Now they play Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, and Cal. Those are their next four.
Yeah.
Tell me they can't be 7-1. I'm not saying they will be. I'm just saying, tell me they can't be.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
Sure.
And that's the fun of playing this type of schedule.
Yes. Where if you played a Big Ten schedule, you know, look, the Ohio States of the world and the Oregons of the world, that's going to be an old-fashioned
bludgeon. Yeah, it's like you can just lay out the games you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Here, you can't.
No.
It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. They will play BYU, as we mentioned, in the Hot Five, mm-hmm. 2027, 2028. So the Beavers, for next year, so next year's weird because they originally signed with the Mountain West, the scheduling agreement with Mountain West, like they're doing this year.
But they couldn't get another year under it.
So they're doing the Mountain West scheduling thing this year, but next year... They've bagged that, so they have to just kind of play as an independent next year. Mm-hmm. They currently on their schedule, they have, this is Oregon State I'm talking about, they have Cal, mm-hmm. Oregon, Texas Tech, Wake Forest, Fresno State, Houston, and Washington State.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a pretty fun schedule.
Sure.
So they have five more they got to fill there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you throw in, you know, you got a couple of the Power Fours, the lower level ones, you got the big one with Oregon, and... You know, it depends on where you go. I don't know if you're Oregon State. Does it even benefit you unless you're just looking for a payday? Does it look you to go with another big game?
Like, I don't think so.
I don't think so. You know, look, and again, not being in a group of five, true conference, you're not making the playoff next year. It's not happening. So, I don't know. Does it... Do you want to just try to put together some wins, or do you want to see them go after and try to schedule a game on a quote neutral site against an LSU or against an Alabama, someone like that? I don't know where that fan base is, or do you try to load it up with just some W's and try to put together a 10-win season?
Well, I think it's kind of cool that Barnes or whoever does it gets to schedule like for next year.
Yeah.
You know, because it used to be in college football, you would schedule something for 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then you'd have your conference games that you knew you were playing, so you really wasn't. So there's a lot of heavy lifting going on here with scheduling.
I will warn you from a scheduling standpoint, BYU went independent for a couple years. It's tough.
Yeah. Because I think that the ones we just read there
are good.
That's a pretty tough. I think they need to mix in some cupcakes.
I think it's, well, and I think you're going to have to because... At this late notice, you're not going to get a home and away with anyone of particular substance. It wouldn't shock me if the remaining games are going to be the Portland States and the directional schools. I don't know how many other big schools are going to be signing one game entities, well, or maybe you do several home and aways that start, you know, and continue into your new Pac-12 schedule. But I would think that the schedule is going to be a little softer after those teams that we just read off.
And I think it should be, is what I'm saying, because I feel like you already got Oregon on there, Texas Tech, Houston, Washington State, not easy games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of fun to look at this because you know generally what these teams have. It's not like 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then you got Cal, Fresno, Wake Forest. You know, so, yeah, they need some, got to mix in some Portland States, man.
Yeah.
Got to get some dubs.
You know, look at it. Like I said, there were a couple years when BYU was doing it that you looked at their schedule and it was kind of like, oh, my God. They had like four or five games that you were scared. You're like, geez. And then you looked at the rest of it and it was, you know, Coastal Southwestern School of the Blind. And you were like, eh. But then, you know, it's when you're scheduling, you know, four games against teams that you are going to be significant underdogs against, you know, it's nice to make sure you got some W's on
there. Isn't it kind of fun to do an independent schedule because these are teams you don't normally see?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was
fun. It's just kind of interesting to play, I don't know, Wake Forest. Well, maybe not Wake Forest, but you know what I mean. BYU. That's a cool game.
Yeah, like 1 year for BYU, we played Arizona and Cal and Wisconsin, which was like cool, right? You're like, oh, hell yeah. And then we got McNeese, we got NIU, we got UMass, we got New Mexico State, like Western Michigan. And you're like, oh, you know, and that was kind of the way that schedule went. It was four to five teams that you were excited to play, one that usually scared the living dickens out of you because you were going to get the brakes beat off of you, and then you played, you played McNeese State.
Couple of leftovers from the weekend. I see where Iowa's offense is averaging 29 points per game.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So you can climb out of their ass for a while?
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
If only Kirk Ferentz had done this sooner with some of those defenses, Iowa might actually have been in the playoff.
They're 52nd in scoring.
Hey, if you're Iowa, I don't know if you've ever been better.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Power 4 team that is sneaky in shambles, Auburn.
Oh, what do they got?
Well, they suck.
They do suck. I'm not saying Cal's actually pretty good this year, but yeah. Auburn
is 6-19 in their last 25 games against Power Conference teams.
Ooh.
They're panicking in Auburn. And Hugh Freeze, nobody likes Hugh Freeze.
Well, they already canned Boise State guy, and then they went and got Hugh Freeze, and that's not necessarily working out. And Hugh Freeze is kind of a yutz anyways.
That's what I said. Nobody likes him.
Yeah, and Auburn's one of those jobs, too, that because of Cam Newton and you won a national title and you've had some special years, you know, Auburn can be good. Auburn's a sneaky hard job because you're not Alabama, you're not LSU, but you have those same sort of expectations. And I'll bet you if we looked at Auburn year to year, I'll bet you there's this, you know, before like Heupel came along, Tennessee was kind of like this. You know, it's you can win there, but it is not a cakewalk. I'm going to look this up, see how many years that Auburn's had where it's like, look out there. They've had some nice runs. Yeah, look at this. So this is Auburn. So they're 2-2 this year, 6-7, 5-7, 6-7, 6-5. There's 9-4, 8-5, 10-4. 7-6, 8-5. There's 12-2, 3-9, 8-5. There's the 14-0. Cam Newton, right?
Gene Chizik.
Yeah, 8-5, 5-7. Like, and that's going back to 2007.
Not that great.
It's not that great. It's just that you had the
bring back Terry Bowden.
You had that 14-0 year where you won a national title, and after that it was like, hey, Auburn. You know, well, since then you've had one. Since they won a national title in 2010, they have had. They've had 2 10-win seasons. You know, that ain't great.
And as one of our texters points out on the Vancouver 4 text line, Auburn, Oklahoma, somehow only a 2.5-point spread because they both kind of suck.
Yeah, I'll take Oklahoma in that.
Four unbeatens in the ACC as well. Just wanted to point out Miami, Louisville, Pitt, and Duke are all unbeaten so far. And each of them has a veteran transfer quarterback at the helm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just going to, that's the norm.
That's the new thing.
That's the new thing in college football.
Except for Dylan Raiola, baby.
Except he's lost.
Yeah, they lost.
He looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, he does. They're in good hands with him. And you see his brother? He has a brother named Dayton.
Yeah, that looks shockingly like.
Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, they're doing bits out there. The Raiola family. It's weird.
Dayton committed to Nebraska as well.
Yeah, it's strange. So what does Mahomes play?
I don't know.
I think he's also a quarterback.
He's also a QB. Yeah, it's weird. It is. It's very, 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 very strange.
Who is next in line after Oakland for cities that have the most to complain about? That's next. Here's Buckley.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Now to Oakland, where they will play the final, well, the A's will play their final game at the Coliseum tomorrow afternoon against the Rangers. Tickets are going for
tens of dollars?
No, they're going for hundreds of dollars.
Are they really?
Yep.
So it's actually going to be a sellout?
I don't know about that. But maybe. I mean, they're talking about $125 to get in the door.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know. Like, they did the, like, opening day, didn't they do the protest where they all just stood outside the stadium? I'm surprised that people want to give that D-bag money. I feel bad for the A's fans.
Well, it's the last game.
It's the last game, but I feel bad for them.
Yeah, if you're a sports fan in Oakland, I mean, how much do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, you've lost...
You've lost them all.
You've lost Golden State. At least, I mean, I guess you've at least lost them across the bay. You can still go, but they're not in Oakland anymore. So I guess that's some solace. You lost the Raiders again. They're not coming back, and now you lost the A's. We've never seen anything like this.
No, ever. No, there's never been anything like this. And the other thing too is, that if you're younger, you probably don't remember. Oakland was like a mecca of winning teams.
Yes.
It was title town.
Yes.
I mean, in the 70s, the A's, the Raiders, and the Warriors won five straight championships.
Yeah.
Five straight years, 72 to 76.
Mm-hmm.
And they all played steps apart. They played in the same area.
Yep.
There's such a rich history there with Al Davis and John Madden and mm-hmm. Ricky Henderson and Rick Barry and... Well, Steph Curry.
I remember in the 80s and the 90s, you know, growing up, that the both of those teams were, except the Warriors. The Warriors, although, you know, they had run TMC, right, with Mitch Richmond and Chris Mullins and those guys. But, I mean, dude, the A's were a big freaking deal with McGuire and Canseco and Dave Stewart, the Bash Brothers and all that.
Don't forget about Carney Lansford.
Oh, yeah. The great Carney Lansford.
Terry Steinbach.
Playing
Mike Gallegos.
They were.
Mike Bordick.
They were so fun. I mean, I remember the A's and Dennis Eckersley, the A's and the Dodgers, and that was such a big deal. And then even in somewhat recent times, even when the A's had to do the stupid Moneyball thing, they still brought out good teams, you know, and every now and then they would jump up and surprise you. And you know, that was, I don't know, I feel for the people of Oakland and all because of what? Like, because
with the A's, it's the owner.
Yes.
Right. But I don't know. What is it with the Warriors? They just capitalized on the championships. And
I mean, I do think it's the same type of thing where the place that they were playing was a dump. They wanted a new site and it was really hard to work with the city, but they weren't trying to move them out of the area. They were just trying to move them. I mean, they weren't trying to move them out of like the Bay Area, like the A's are.
Yeah, they went over to San Francisco. But the Raiders go to Vegas. I don't know. I don't know enough about the dealings in Oakland. Like, all three teams left,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how much to blame Oakland, the city of Oakland, and how much to blame
the
owners.
I don't... the Davis one is hard because that there's a long, I mean, they've left multiple times,
yeah,
right, between LA and Oakland, and Vegas just basically bent over and spread him and gave him whatever he wanted. They built that for him. That's one of the poorest owners in the NFL is, why can't I think of Al Davis's kid?
Mark
Davis. Like he just didn't have money. And so he was like, well, I need someone to build this for me. And he didn't want a reasonable stadium. He wanted a big old palace. And Vegas was like, I'll do it. And the one that pisses the people in Oakland off about Fisher is the deal that he made with Vegas isn't much different than the deal that Oakland was offering
him. That's exactly right. He didn't want to be there anymore. There's enough writing on the wall there that there were options for them to stay there, and he just didn't want to keep them there. No, like, it was feasible.
The only reason that they're not in Oakland anymore is a little bit of the Mark Davis thing, where had the city of Oakland bent over and was like, here's $3 billion, he would have done it. But the one that they're building him in Vegas is no different than the one that they would build him in Oakland or help build him. But the one in Oakland, he wanted that big giant parcel on the water with the aerial tram and all that. He didn't want to pay for any of it. And unlike Al Davis, he actually has money. So they just got screwed. They got screwed with San Francisco being a sexier site for the Warriors to move across because there's more money there. And they got screwed with two of the worst owners in their respective leagues. The poorest one in Mark Davis, who just didn't want to foot the bill for anything, mainly because he probably wasn't able to. And then they got literally the worst owner in sports who probably could afford to do it and wasn't going to.
I love that we call Mark Davis poor.
Well, he was.
Well, relatively speaking, he's the poorest of his peers.
I understand that, but I think I'd probably switch portfolios with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you guys hear the Oakland Sports Anchor rant?
Larry Beal. You sent that to me.
Yeah.
That's old ESPN anchor.
That's right. He started in the Bay Area. He went to Bristol. He came back to the Bay Area.
Yeah, do you have that?
I do. Yeah. Let's
play that. This is so he's on TV channel.
Yeah,
there.
He's on KTVU in Oakland there.
Yeah, this is the response that Fisher wrote a letter to the fans. Yeah,
like
in Oakland.
Thank you and we tried.
Yeah, we tried. Sorry, we tried so hard.
Not our fault.
Yeah.
All right. So you heard Fisher's statement. Let me tell you what reality is, okay? John, you tried 5 different, extremely flawed stadium proposals. You never got even close to a shovel in the ground. Yes. Oakland politics is often a mess. I will give you that. But John, you surround yourself with incompetent yes men. And because you were born into a billionaire family, apparently never learned you have to spend money to make money. See Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors, your buddy, who still wants to buy the team. John, you're a serial penny pincher. You've destroyed your family's great name and legacy because of your cheapness. As for the statement about loyal A's fans, quote, I wish I could speak to each and every one of you individually, end quote. Seriously? John, we've been trying to interview you for years, but you always choose to remain invisible unless you're begging politicians for public funding. And then you're out in front in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Yeah. Sucks.
By the way, when the
and you know the other thing too.
The
other thing is about Oakland. It's not like, you know, like Seattle is probably going to get the NBA back.
Yes,
right, and got the NHL.
Yeah,
DC got baseball back.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland's not getting anything back.
I don't think so.
I don't know what it would be.
No, unless an owner came in and just wanted to bend over and just say, hey, you know, I'll pay for this. I mean, that's what we're having to do in Portland. We're going to have an owner that comes in and just says, look, we'll foot the bill for this, which is why they need the larger retail space to develop it, because they got to make back $4 billion. I mean, again, we talked about it. The expansion fee in Major League Baseball, Manfred's talking about $2.2 billion for the right to get a team. And then at least another $2 billion to build the stadium and the infrastructure. John Fisher, by the way, is worth $3.5 billion. When this is Mark Davis, so when Mark Davis started the move to Vegas, started to pull out of Oakland, he was worth $500 million. So, I know that's a lot of money, but in the terms of building a stadium, and he was one of the poorest owners. So that's the people of Oakland got screwed over because the Davis family didn't have money. I mean, I honestly don't think he could have done that. And since he moved to Vegas, he's now worth over $2 billion because of the worth of his team.
What did Big Al leave him? Was Al worth a ton?
I don't know. I mean, it can't be that much.
Can't, well.
Well, I mean, now it is.
But, I mean, it could have been. Mark could have just screwed it up.
I guess could have screwed it away. But yeah, it's, you know, $500 million in 2016, 2017 to now $2.3 billion. So,
again, you know, I'd trade portfolios with that poor guy.
Yes, that is true. But in the NFL, so, like when you guaranteed contracts, you have to put that money in escrow and all that. We had some of this when we were in Tampa, the Glazer family down in Tampa. It was the same thing. They were cheap as hell.
But they were rich.
They were rich. They were
filthy
just,
rich.
They were just cheap.
They were cheap, yeah.
They were cheap. There was a thing where they would try to keep that money. The guys didn't get paid on time because they were keeping it in and like rolling over interest and things. Like, they were notoriously cheap. And so sometimes the city just gets screwed over. I mean, you were a Royals fan. How many years did you have to suffer through because your owner was a cheap ass?
Well, the old owner was great.
Yes.
Ewing Kaufman.
Yes.
He was wonderful. Then he died, and they sold it to the Walmart douche,
yeah,
David Glass, and he ran it like, I mean, just a penny-pinching business.
Yep.
And that's why they sucked for the longest time, being really good in the 70s and 80s.
There's just no, I hope that somewhere, something comes back to Oakland, but imagine a city of that size and the growth, because so much has spilled over from the Bay Area and San Francisco over there, to not have a single sports entity.
I wonder what they do. Do they just, do you follow your old team in their new location? Do you gravitate toward Bay Area sport? I mean, San Francisco sport?
Well, there's such a hatred. Do A's fan become Giants fans?
I don't think they can.
I don't know.
No. I think they're just an A's fan.
I think you become sports orphan for a while, and then you just.
Well, but Vegas isn't that far.
Yeah, but then you're supporting the team that you're mad at the ownership. I mean, it's kind of like when the Sonics left for Oklahoma City. It left a lot of Sonics fans really bitter. They loved their Sonics, but they didn't become Thunder fans.
But a lot of the Raider fans are following the Raiders to Vegas.
Raider fans have always followed the Raiders. Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, that is true. I just don't know if A's fan, if Fisher sold the team, I think A's fan could follow him to Vegas because it's, you know, but I don't know how you root for that team when that guy is your owner. And especially if you see him in a shiny new stadium and, you know, like, I'd be pissed if I was a Raiders fan and I watched that little bull-cutted turd now, you know, strut around, you know, being like, hey, I'm worth $2 billion now. Yeah, because you screwed us over by moving.
All right, one more question about this. We'll wrap up the hour and then get into the club next on The Fan. All right, was it a dart fart coming up next on Club 1080?
This, as a Chargers fan that grew up in San Diego, the Chargers are dead to me now. NFL free agent.
Yeah, that leads us nicely into the question I was originally going to ask on the poll today, but the NIL thing with UNLV kind of took over the headlines. So I was going to ask this question. I was going to ask, which city's fans have the most to complain about after Oakland, because it's not even close with Oakland.
Yeah.
And I put, I was going to put Portland, Buffalo, Charlotte, or San Diego.
Mm.
And there are other candidates. I mean, you could say, like, if you want to go to the places that have more teams, like Cleveland, maybe, but the Cavs, you know, with LeBron, they were really good.
They won a title, and the Indians have consistently been a solid team.
Yeah, the Guardians.
Yeah, the Guardians.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Minneapolis, but the T-Wolves are good now, and the Twins have always been good. The Vikings are good.
Yeah. San Diego's a solid one. I mean, they lost the Clippers to L.A. They lost the Chargers to L.A.
And the Padres have never won anything.
Yeah, you got the Padres. San Diego may be it.
Buffalo.
But those people get to live in San Diego.
That is true.
Yeah, F them. Buffalo has the Bills, who had the heartache of three straight Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And then the Bills are good, but... four straight. The Sabres suck, and they don't have anything else.
No.
Portland doesn't have anything but the Blazers, and they're a mess right now, and haven't won since the 70s. And then you have Charlotte, who just sucks.
Yeah, Charlotte does suck. I mean, you got the Panthers. The Panthers went to two Super Bowls, didn't win one. But
but now they might have the worst owner in the league and don't look to be turning it around anytime soon.
Yeah, that's...
But I'm sorry, Charlotte's just lucky to have NFL.
It's probably true.
They are. Buffalo has great fans.
Yeah.
It works in Buffalo. Charlotte,
Yeah.
Who's a Panthers fan? Come on.
Yeah, someone from the 90s that likes the color teal, I guess. This is a pretty good one, saying St. Louis lost the Rams after Super Bowls. That's true. And same thing. They got screwed over by a rich owner that just wanted to be in L.A. That's all that was. It had nothing to do with anything else other than, and by the way, they paid lawsuit. I mean, they just, you had to write him a check. But Kroenke just didn't want to be in St. Louis.
Phoenix is another one too. Well, see, St. Louis though. I mean, the Cardinals, come on.
Yeah, but like, it's got to suck that when you support an NFL team, right? And that NFL team is good and you've been with, you know, and obviously I guess they came from LA, but like you've supported them since coming there. And basically the owner, there's nothing wrong with anything other than he just says, we're worth more money in LA. So
yeah,
I'm moving to LA.
Look, that sucks, but you can fall back on the Cardinals and the Blues. Like, there are cities way worse off than that.
Sure.
Even though that did suck for them.
Well, I mean, I guess I just feel bad for any fan base now because this is the model. You know, it's the Seahawk model. Or not Seahawk model, excuse me, the Sonics model. And that is, you get a rich guy who says, I'm rich, but I can't afford to keep the team here, which is a lie, unless you build me a stadium that I am going to make so extravagant and so ridiculous that you're not going to want to do it. Because if you do, you end up with like the Marlins ballpark for $3.5 billion when you get done paying it off and no one's going to care anyways. And by the way, even with the new ballpark, I'm not going to run it any differently. I'm still going to be a cheap ass. And if you don't do that for me, then I'm just going to move to somewhere else. And that's really where I want to move it anyways. And so the city's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Either you foot the bill for some rich ass and build some monstrosity where he's going to continue to just run the team like a piece of crap, or you do like what the Sonics did and the people of Seattle and just be like, no, we're not doing that. And then he's like, okay, cool, I tried. And then he packs up and leaves, which is what's happening with the A's. I feel so bad for fan bases. I mean, for God's sakes, the Detroit Red Wings, there's not another team that's as synonymous with their city, maybe, as they call it Hockey Town. And the Ilitch family actually had the nerve to tell the people of Detroit, well, you know, if we don't get favorable terms here, you know, maybe, you know, we look somewhere else.
Yeah,
there's no one immune from this.
You know, the Phoenix is a sneaky one, even though the D-bags were just in the World Series, but they keep threatening to move.
Yeah, they just lost their hockey team.
Yes.
They lost their hockey team.
Yep.
The Cardinals have the worst owner next to David Tepper in
yes,
the NFL,
100%.
In Bidwell.
And also is not very wealthy.
And the Suns just got a new owner.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, I mean, jury's still out.
At least he cares and has money.
But they don't have a great...
No, dude.
But their market isn't great. I mean, like, their whole TV situation fell apart. Yeah. Their stadium situation fell apart. Obviously, Ishbia has taken this seriously, but there's even rumors that people could be looking to get them out of Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, and as someone points out, the Chiefs are doing this right now in Kansas City. They're not thinking about leaving Kansas City, but they're thinking about leaving the state. And going across the line.
I got to tell you, I actually feel like it's San Diego.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, the Chargers got ripped out from... I mean, because the thing about San Diego is they hate being in the shadow of L.A.
Yeah.
And so to have the... Like, the Chargers were... That was them.
Yeah.
And now they're in L.A.
Where no one cares.
Yeah, exactly. San Diegans did.
Yep.
So that plus the Padres have never won anything...
Nope.
And
the Clippers
left. I think it's got to be San Diego.
It's pretty tough, especially when imagine being the little brother a la Portland, but your little brother isn't, or your big brother isn't Seattle, it's Los Angeles. And they're sitting there with two of your teams. I mean, I guess like you have whatever sports team we have here. You have the, I guess, you know, you keep up the Blazers, or I guess you keep you get a Major League Baseball team here, but your two other teams are both up in Seattle right now.
Yeah.
Imagine if the Seahawks
exactly
and the Blazers were everything was here in Portland and it's all up in Seattle now and you're left with like a baseball team that's never done anything. Think about how just furious you would be. But again, it's in San Diego, so no one cares because it's like, dude, it's 81.
I'm gonna go on a hike.
Exactly. Shut up.
I'm gonna go surfing.
It's hard to feel sympathy for people in San Diego.
That is true.
Yeah.
But it's sneaky. Like, if you're a sports fan down there, that rivals Oakland. It's not to Oakland levels, but I don't think anything's to Oakland level. Yeah. But that rivals it.
This is saying something, but it is my least favorite thing about sports is the owner crying poor and you... I don't know another... imagine... someone coming down, an alien coming down, right? He comes down from, you know, planet Kolob and lands here in on beautiful earth, lands right here in the United States of America, God's country, Independence, Missouri, and you're hanging out there in Missouri and you're explaining to someone from another planet. See, we got these things that are called sports teams, right? And everyone loves them, right? It's like it's the biggest thing. But yeah, we don't own any of them. Yeah, no. That these people over here, and they're like the richest people. They own them all. But what they demand from us is that we, the poor people, we build them these giant cathedrals that cost billions of dollars, and then we get no money out of it. Every dollar that that building makes goes to the guy that already has billions of dollars. And then they're like, well, so you guys get to go to the building then for free, right? Because you pay for it. No. We have to pay exorbitant amounts of money. In fact, most of us can't even afford to go to that building because it's so expensive. And so we get to buy a ticket to that most of us can't afford. But then we actually have to pay for the right, it's called a personal seat license. We actually have to pay for the right to then buy the seat in the $3 billion stadium that we built, and all the money goes to that guy over there who's still really rich. Like, that is the most, like, you could not explain that to
and
someone.
The alien's like, sign me up. Sounds great.
Go Chiefs, or, you know. Oh, and by the way, 99 times out of 100, that team will kick you in the nuts and break your heart. And yet, this is the deal that almost every community signs up for. It's stunning.
Yeah, every season will end in loss or disappointment, except for one out of every 30 or 40.
That joy. I'm going to tell you something, though. That joy.
It rules.
It absolutely rules.
Wouldn't you think that,
that's
like,
the hook.
As a taxpayer, like, that someone would have to be like, you get to go to that game for free, right? No. Like, those, you're, no.
Yeah, but we pay him a bunch of money anyway. Might as well go for sports.
It's just there's nothing else quite like it.
Would you be fooled by this? And was it a dart fart? Next, Club 1080 on the Fan.